Jake Paul has silenced all his opponents. But his next test against combat sports legend Tyron Woodley is his toughest yet. Now the fight critics said Jake Paul should never take is here. Wants it more. Jake Paul versus Tyron Woodley, Sunday, August 29th at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, live on pay-per-view. Order now. Go to showtime.com/PPV.
Welcome to All the Smoke, a production of The Black Effect and iHeartRadio in partnership with Showtime.
Welcome back to another edition of All the Smoke. What's going on with you, Jack?
Coolin', my boy. How are you? I see you've been real busy today.
Man, I just literally ran off the set of ESPN to come home to do this interview. Then I got to go right back to ESPN to finish out this free agent shit. Yeah, come on, man. You already know what it is. But we got a special guest today, man. Someone who has really, made a living. I don't even know how to put this. This man has just made a living off being him, and it has been able to capitalize in several different fields. A space he's in now is boxing. Welcome to the show, Jake Paul. Jake, what's up with you, man?
What up, boys? How are we, man? Yeah, just
we're
cooling,
up,
chilling,
having good,
living life, man. About the
man.
Just counting down the days to the fight.
As you should. So we spoke off camera. So you're in Puerto Rico in training camp right now. How long have you been out there?
I've been down here for a couple of months now, just focused, man. There's no distractions here, and it's hot. Like, the training down here will really get you ready. And you know, that's what's needed, going through the tough moments down here in the extreme heat and, you know, having one focus, one pointed attention.
Have you taken training this serious in your previous fights, or is this kind of your new mold into hopefully heading into, like, real-time boxing?
No, all my camps have been very, very serious training.
Okay.
And I've gone 110% every single time. You know, I do know that this is my toughest opponent. But even in my last couple of fights, you know, we were training like I was going to be fighting the best fighters in the world in that ring. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I like to push myself as hard as I possibly can in all aspects of my life.
Dope. Well, first and foremost, congratulations on signing your Showtime boxing deal, man. You know, to kind of the journey you've been on to be able to, you know, step into this business and sign a real lucrative deal, man. That's hats off to you and everything you've been doing in this space.
I appreciate it, man. Yeah, it's amazing to be with Showtime. You know, they're the best in the business, and they get what I'm trying to do. So, you know, being in partnership with them is massive. And yeah, I'm excited to do this first show in Cleveland, Ohio with them. And, you know, I'm taking boxing very serious, and I hope everyone can see that. And going with Showtime is about as serious as it gets.
Yeah, Showtime Thanks. Is the best, man. So welcome to the family. So as we know, you got a highly anticipated fight with Tyron Woodley, one-time UFC champion. That'll take place August 29th at a Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse in your hometown of Ohio, or, you know, home state of Cleveland, Ohio. What is it like being able to go back home and put on a show for possibly kids that have never seen a real-life boxing match?
It's so cool, man. Like, I still... It's still surreal to me. I don't even know if it's really fully set in what I'm doing yet. But, you know, going to that same arena as a kid and watching LeBron play and now being able to go back and be the center of attention and put on maybe for some kids, it'll probably be their first fight that they're ever going to. It's just a dream come true. And maybe, you know, one kid out there in the crowd will 20 years from now sell out that same arena. You know, that's my goal, is to inspire the kids from my hometown with this fight and show them that they can do anything that they set their mind to. And my friends and family are going to be there rooting me on. And, you know, I'm going to need it for this fight. I'm going to need all the motivation I can get, because this is a serious guy. Tyron's not playing around, and he has knockout power. And so, you know, I'm excited all the way around.
Well, that's dope. I mean, you say it's kind of surreal and kind of like a dream, but how did we get here? How do we get from a YouTube sensation to someone who is in this boxing space now and taking it as serious as you have?
You know, it might sound cheesy, but the reason I got here is just rolling with the punches. You know, I've done that my whole entire career. I started off on Vine, and then, you know, Vine vanished and you know, the app was deleted. So I had to, you know, reinvent myself, move over to Facebook, Instagram, started doing YouTube. Then I got on Disney Channel, you know, I'm a CEO, entrepreneur, businessman. You know, so I've always just gone and adapted and been like a chameleon in this space. And when I finally found boxing, I was like, oh, this is truly something that I love and that I'm passionate about. And it takes me back to my roots of being a kid and wanting to go to the NFL, playing sports all the time. That was really all there was to do in Ohio. And so it was really a perfect calling. And I found my lane. And man, once I got my first knockout and my first pro fight, I was just addicted to the feeling of it. I caught the boxing bug, and the rest is really history, man. I pretty much just talk shit and have a loud mouth. And, you know, I'm arrogant at times and controversial and polarizing at times, but I think that just adds to, you know, the whole narrative here of some people wanting to see me get knocked out. And so this has just been a wild roller coaster, and I didn't even expect it to get this big this fast.
Nah, there ain't nothing wrong with believing in yourself, bro. Hey, you seen T. Willie face-to-face a couple of times. What do you see in him, and why are you taking this fight so serious? Like, you sound like it's different than your other fights. What did you see in him when you seen him face-to-face?
You know, just experience. Like, I think with my other opponents, I was able to get in their head, break them down mentally before we even got into the ring. But Tyron's done this dozens and dozens of times, more times than me. So he's seen it all, been there multiple times, been on the big stage, done the big press conferences. And so I see how experienced he is, and he's been fighting for way longer than me. He was winning UFC championships when I was, you know, doing the Disney, hi, I'm Jake Paul, you're watching Disney Channel. So I just know that experience in this sport is one of the most important things, if not the most important things. So I'm just not messing around.
I mean, there's been a lot of back and forth between you and him, shit talking. I kind of compare you for your genre, like you've mastered the shit talking game. Like I compare you to 50 Cent when it comes to you, like doing the antics you need to keep the crowd going, to keep the buzz going, to keep just the energy going. Where did you get that from?
You know, I've always sort of been like the class clown, you know, the one who was cracking jokes in school and genuinely just like to have fun. I think people take life too seriously. I like to make fun of myself. My friends make fun of me. I make fun of them. And so that just really has carried over into the fight game and trolling and using the internet, making memes. And that's really where it stems from. And genuinely, I just like enjoy it. Sometimes I'll be posting stories or tweets and I'm just sitting there laughing because I think it's hilarious. And like, I don't really even care if anyone else thinks it's hilarious. I'm really just doing it because I think it's funny.
When you think about your journey, and we'll get into your upbringing a little bit, when you think about your journey, where you started, and you said the Vines and the Facebooks, IGs, Disney, to where you're at now and the fucking boatloads of money you're making, did you, like, what do you think about just your whole journey? Like, you're kind of a blueprint for this next generation, like, going out there and getting your own based off this social media life. Did you ever think it would be this big?
I really didn't. You know, it's crazy how far I've come from where I've started. And I try to think about that all the time. I reflect and I'm just like, wow, this is crazy. The younger version of you would be so, so proud. And yeah, like you said, I'm just figuring it out as I go, because I think this new generation of kids, this new generation of celebrities that have sort of been coined influencers, there's really no blueprint. No one's, right, you know, paved the way. But I think what this new generation is showing is, you know, you can blend in many different areas. You can be a chameleon. You can, you know, go and make music. You can go do YouTube videos. You can do TikToks. You can fight if you want to. I think entertainment now has evolved into one category, and people, I think moving forward, will see that that's how you sort of rise to the top, is doing it all, I guess. And if you look at the people who are the biggest in the world, it's like The Rock, right? Like, he came from fighting in WWE and playing sports to then acting to now using Instagram content. So, you know, just playing the game differently is how you win in today's world.
Betting on yourself.
Tell us a little bit about your upbringing. Obviously, we all know Logan. Is there any other family members, and what was your childhood like?
It's just us, you know, just Logan and I, and, you know, grew up in a blue collar family. My parents got divorced, at a young age, and, I was always like hopping back and forth from each house. And at my mom's house, we got to like have fun and, you know, hang out with our friends and get into a little bit of trouble. And then I would go to my dad's house, and it was like work. You know, we would landscape and clean out gutters, snow blow houses, you know, clean out hoarders' houses. Just my dad was doing anything he could to find a job, and we would always help him out, and just played sports, rode my bike around the town. And this was before, you know, cell phones and TikTok and stuff, where you could still go, you had to go knock on your neighbor's door to see if you wanted to play. And we would ding dong ditch. But you know, small town, and, you know, I never really liked school or anything like that. I just knew there was something out there more for me, and I wanted to like be a business person or something along those lines. But there was really no one from my town that I could like look up to, you know, figure it all out. But that's really it.
You have definitely made your path, and it sounds like your dad was a really hard worker too. What has it been like for you and your brother to be able to, now you've made it, you know, you're at the top of the top, you're at the top of the food chain, you're making great money. What is it like to be able to take care of your parents, you know, after all the sacrifices they made for you guys as children?
Honestly, it's amazing, you know, and that's what I wanted to work for and towards, is to just provide a better situation for my family, for my dad, for my mom, and to not have money be an issue. And I think, you know, we grew up working so hard for, you know, $10-$15 an hour. And now, you know, the opportunities we have, we still just want to work even harder, because we worked this hard when all that money wasn't there. And so, you know, now I can set up, I'm in a position to set up my kids, you know, or my kids' kids one day, to just everyone can be okay, and just providing that different lifestyle. So it's a blessing. And, you know, at first, when you start to make money as a 20-year-old or whatever, you know, you want to buy the watches and get the cars and like flex on everyone. And then you sort of get past that phase and you're like, okay, like I'm doing this for a different reason now.
Mm. Yeah, no, that's what's up. You've definitely created your own path and being able to create generational wealth within that. So after that initial, let me flex, then it's like, okay, how do I plan for my life? And it's dope that at your age, you're understanding that already. You mentioned, obviously, training camp in Puerto Rico is hot as shit out there. It has you locked in. Who are some of your training and sparring partners that you've been messing around with out there? Any big notable names?
Yes, some really good guys. So Jaylion Love, who has always been a top boxing prospect. And then one of my sparring partners, Anthony Taylor, who's from Bellator. You know, he fights a lot like Tyron, and he actually now just got added to the undercard, fighting Tommy Fury.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which is a sick announcement. I'm stoked for that. And you know, stoked for Tommy to come over to the U.S. And it's gonna be a tough fight. You know, it's not gonna be easy. Anthony's a really good sparring partner. He's awkward. He throws punches differently. Like an MMA fighter. And then been sparring with Derek Finley out here as well. And then some of the top guys in Puerto Rico. So we're having, you know, the best camp I've ever had, and only getting better and better every single day.
You say all your camps, you train this hard for every fight, you know, regardless if you fought little weak-ass Ben, whether you knocked him out. But you say you train all these fights the same. Is there any difference fighting when you know, because it sounds like you're taking Woodley more serious, but are you doing anything, like, different for this fight?
You know, we're just all getting better as a team and understanding each other, from the head coaches to the strength and conditioning coaches to, you know, my recovery coach who helps me on the healing side of things. We're all just getting better at understanding how we operate. So this camp's just a lot more smooth. And this is really like my job now. You know, the first couple of times I was doing this, it was like, oh, sick, we got to fight. You know, let's get ready. And we would just make it happen. But it's been back-to-back-to-back training camps nonstop. So it sort of just feels very natural, and I don't even remember what my life was like before all this boxing training right. camps.
Any boxers you love? Any boxers you love watching growing up?
You know, Oscar De La Hoya. You know, I've been a huge fan of. And then the Klitschko brothers were just always super super exciting. I like their style. I like how hard they fight. So we study a lot of their film, and I try to fight like them.
I saw, I'm pretty sure it was you. You mentioned something about, obviously, your goal in here is to help fighters get paid more, whether it be UFC or boxing. And I think the kind of attention you bring to the sport is only going to help us speak to that. Because like I said, I think people want to pin you as a bad guy and this and that. But when I heard you say that, that was some real shit, because particularly UFC, these guys get fucked out of money left and right. The lower end boxers don't really get, you know, most of these guys have to have second jobs. So let me know your thought process when you spoke to that, and hopefully, you know, you helping fighters get paid more.
Yeah. So I think it comes from me seeing how hard this sport is, right? I played football. I wrestled. I, you know, have been an actor. I've been a CEO, a founding, you know, multi-million dollar companies. And there's nothing harder than boxing and fighting just in general. And I see how much sacrifice you have to make, and you're literally in there, you know, taking shots to the head. And I think fighters are just generally underpaid, and I think that's for a lot of reasons, but I just want to help fix that problem. And I think we attack that multiple ways. I think first and foremost, we need the sports to become more popular and more fans, more audience, which will naturally just put more revenue across the board. And I think also just voicing it, because a lot of these young fighters get sucked in by promoters to long fight contracts, and then they become a star, and then their promoter's just taking all their money. Mm-hmm. Or in the case of the UFC, it's really a monopoly where Dana White controls these guys' careers and can make whatever fights happen, pay whoever he wants, whatever they want, or pay them nothing. Mm-hmm. And so it just, it's just very, very unfair. And what's crazy about it is, you know, the UFC, the fighters only get paid 10% of the total amount of the money that's earned. Whereas in the NBA, it's 50%. The NFL, it's 50%. And meanwhile, you have Dana White, you know, going on Twitter talking about how he spent $7 million on a blackjack hand and lost it or whatever. And meanwhile, his fighters are starting GoFundMe pages. And not only that, it's like if you're in the NBA and NFL, you know, you have team facilities, you have team coaches, you know, you get help on the recovery side of things. You have the, you know, you get flown places, you know, all of that is covered. As a fighter, you have to cover all your own expenses. And I know how crazy it is, from the meals to the gyms to the coaches to your strength and conditioning to your recovery team. It's expensive to be a fighter. And so that's another thing that people don't even take into account, really. So I'm just like, damn, we need to change this. And, you know, I'm not going to be able to do it by myself, but I think just continuing to talk about it and getting other fighters on board to talk about it is how we do this. It might take 5 years, 10 years, but let's do it.
Right. I think it's important to spark that conversation. Talk to us about your new, your initiative, Boxing Bullies.
Yeah. So super excited. You know, I just launched my foundation, which has been a dream of mine since I was a kid, like always volunteering, always helping out wherever I could, always giving back. That's what my parents taught me since a young age. And I dreamt of one day being able to do that on a massive level. And finally, after, you know, a lot of hard work and building out a team, we launched Boxing Bullies. And the goal of it is pretty simple. It's, you know, let's get boxing gloves and the sport of boxing into and out to as many kids as possible in the world, because boxing, you know, gave me purpose. It gave me something to fight for, and it kept me out of a lot of trouble, honestly. And I want to be able to share that with kids, as well as teaching them how being a bully is not cool, because I used to be a bully. And then I changed. I realized it wasn't cool. And then going through my career, I've been like attacked on the internet, and you know, those types of remarks, comments, all of that stuff lasts with you forever. And so I think cyberbullying and bullying is just a massive problem in this generation. And I just wanted to voice up, raise awareness for it, and you know, show kids that's not cool. And that's really our initiative. And the first event went super well, and it just inspired me to, you know, keep on going, keep on killing it with this foundation. And I want Boxing Bullies to be massive one day and really, really make a change. So it's something I'm very passionate about.
Oh. Yeah, because half the people that talk trash wouldn't say it in your face anyway. So I appreciate you for starting that as well. The Problem Child, how did you get that nickname?
Yeah, so, you know, just growing up, I was sort of the problem child. My brother was like the goody two-shoe and never really got in any trouble. And, you know, I was sort of... you know, using all this energy that I had for the wrong reasons, getting in trouble, not paying attention in class. And, you know, at first I was, you know, people wanted to hate on me for that. And like my teachers would get me in trouble, and, you know, other kids in school would hate on me for that. And once I finally embraced who I was and didn't really care about what other people thought, I felt very free. And I was like, this is who I am. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm different. And I'm the problem child. And that's really where it all started. And then growing up, I sort of tried to leave that part of me behind. But when the boxing gloves come on and, you know, the lights are on and the press, people are watching and the press conferences, that side of me is what comes out. That shit talking, like a little arrogant, a little crazy. Because you have to be to get in that ring and put your life on the line.
Hell
and
yeah.
So the problem child is really who I am when the gloves are on and we're talking about boxing, and I'm just a problem for people in the ring, and I carry that energy into sparring every single day against my sparring partners. Like, I'm here to beat your ass. Like, I'm not playing around. Mm.
The tattoo bet. You did a Twitter poll and asked your fans where T Wood, if you beat him, should put the tattoo. And they said his face, hypothetically speaking. Obviously, you know, your mindset is you're going to win. But if you happen not to, where would you put the tattoo on your body?
Not even a possibility.
He said, fuck that. I'm not even thinking about that shit.
It's like asking me, like, yo, like, after you walk on water, like, what are you going to do next?
Just not having it.
I can't walk on water. I can't lose.
Well, that answers that question.
Do you remember your first tattoo?
Yeah, I actually, it's on my lip right here. I don't know if you can see it, but it says Venture. I got it there because my parents always told me not to get tattoos, and so my first one I got, because you can't see it there.
The problem, but, child.
Yeah. They won't ever see it here. But yeah, Venture. It's like, it means a daring or risky undertaking or journey, which I feel like has been my whole life. So that's actually one of my favorite tattoos.
Take me back to who you were when you knocked our brother, Nate Robinson, out, to the fighter you are, we're talking to right now.
Yeah. You know, against Nate, I was still very good. I just wasn't fully aware / fully a legitimate pro, I don't think, at that time. You know, that was only my second pro fight, and I still had a lot to learn and a lot to experience, you know, going through the fight camp, leading up to the fight, and then being under the lights on a massive stage. I'd only done that a couple times. And so that, you know, that fight, and really every fight you win, it just takes you to another level of understanding of your ability, of being calm, not getting nervous, and turning more into just like a seasoned fighter. And I've just gotten so much better in between these camps. And, you know, the fighter I am now would beat that fighter's ass pretty easily, honestly. Mm.
All right, man, we're winding down to the end. Quick hitters.
Hey, if you could go back to one sporting event and watch it live, what would it be?
Man, I think the first thing that come to mind are like the first Super Bowl or Mike Tyson versus Evander Holyfield.
Oh, that's a big one. I wish I could have been there at that one too.
That'd have been dope. Soundtrack leading up to your big fight. What are three songs that have to be listening to when you get in fight mode?
Definitely for this fight, first and foremost is "Till I Die" by MGK, just because it's like repping Cleveland. Mm-hmm. So we've been bumping that one, and then we've been bumping two Chainz by G Herbo. That one's turnt. And then, you know, I got some Drake, some unreleased Drake.
Okay, that we've been you got some VIP Drake, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's dope. Okay, just remember, when you answer this question, you got to be able to help us with your answer. Who would you like to see on All the Smoke?
Man, I mean, you might as well get my brother on for his next fight. That's easy. Mm-hmm. Easy yes. One right there.
Family plug. That's it. That's a plug. That's
how it's supposed to go.
Yep. Yeah.
Hey, stay loyal to you, bro. I like that shit. That's how I rock, man. I'm large, who large to me. Fuck everybody else.
100%.
All right. I'm taking you to, we're fast forwarding to August 29th, your hometown. Motherfucking stadium is rocking. Lights are on, bell rings. What can we expect from you that night?
Woo! Just an aura of greatness and an electric, fast, sharp, hungry, motivated young man that will not be stopped. And you will see my bones go through Tyrone's head and he will be out on the canvas.
We'll be in the building. We'll definitely be in the building.
We're going to be there.
Y'all better pull up.
Okay, nah, we gonna be there, bro.
We Showtime family, so we're front row at all the fights. This ain't no different. We gonna be there.
Let's go. I'm gonna have y'all pull up to the after party too, because you know that's part of the whole night.
Facts.
Oh, damn.
Pretend your solo camera is on Tyrone. What would you say to him?
Just like right now.
Yeah, right now. Look into your phone and whatever the shit you want to say, say to him.
Man. You know how I'm coming, bro. I'm telling you straight up, stop buying your used Bentleys, stop buying your Nike little shoes, your Air Jordans that are way too expensive for you to afford, and take this last paycheck of yours and ride into the sunset, buy some Ethereum, buy some Solana, buy some Bitcoin, invest your money, and stop being stupid with it. This is your last hurrah, buddy.
tough. We gonna get T on too, so we gonna have a counter back for that. But man, make sure everyone out there, you know, Showtime, tune in August 29th from Cleveland, Ohio. Showtime pay-per-view, Jake Paul, Tyrone Woodley. Don't miss it. Can't miss it. We're gonna be there, man. Jake, we appreciate you taking time with us today, bro. Best of luck at the end of the month.
Yes, 100%. Sir. Good luck, bro.
Thank you, guys. I'll see you there.
No doubt.
I appreciate you.
This is All the Smoke, a production of The Black Effect and iHeartRadio in partnership with Showtime.